You're listening to Shalise's podcast.
All right, let's pray and get this party started.
Ah, Father, I thank you for August. I thank you for this month's word of the month. I thank you that you are using this word, Father, to encourage, strengthen, to edify, to comfort, to confirm, and to propel people, Father, into the fullness of what you are doing in their lives right now and what you are doing actively on the planet. I thank you that we are in a massive move of God that began way back in the early church, and it has not stopped, Father. In fact, I thank you that it's gaining steam. And I thank you that this move of the Holy Spirit in this hour is absolutely coming after the illusion of separation. I thank you, Father, that you are working in us and you are working through us to eradicate the lie that we somehow are independent from you. I thank you that Christ is in us. I thank you that Christ is the cohesive person, the cohesive force in the universe that is holding all things together. I thank you that Jesus is all in all. And I thank you that we are members of one another. I thank you that we are all connected, one spirit, one body, one baptism. And I thank you that there is no distance in the spirit, Father. I thank you that today, even though I'm broadcasting from here in Chicago over the internet, I thank you, Father, that we are one in the spirit. And I thank you that you are extending this union in our consciousness, Father. I thank you that you are elevating our perception and our emotions and our frequencies to the frequency of love, to the frequency that you, that is you, Father, to the frequency of Elohim, to the frequency of Holy Spirit and the risen Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Father, that this is an undeniable manifestation in our lives. I thank you that the presence of God is tangible for every single person that's listening today. And I just release an impartation of what you are speaking into each person, Father, however they need to receive it in the name of Jesus. And I just yield. I yield my body. I yield my mind. I yield all of my faculties to you. I just declare, Father, you have full access to share through me today, whatever it is that you want to share. And I just thank you that there's no outside force, there's no opposition to this word, and that it's going to travel far and wide, and it's going to touch people all over the globe. And I just praise you for what you're doing through me, through the ministry, and through every single listener on of the podcast. I thank you that the call of God on their life is phenomenal. And I thank you that they are stepping into it every single day on your agenda, seeing what you're doing, following your lead, Holy Spirit, and experience the fullness of everything that Jesus accomplished on Calvary for them and everything that you ordained for them before the foundation of the world. And I pray these things in Jesus's name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you guys, welcome to August. It's actually August 6th. I delayed the word for August for a week. Last week, I felt like God had us planted in the word for July. Guess what? It wasn't quite August yet. And I, you know, he was a little bit of a stickler, like, nope, not yet, not yet. So I don't know about you, but I actually went back and listened to it. And you know what? There were nuggets in there that I needed and that I still need. And I really believe that about all of the prophecies and all of the words of the month and the words of the year that I have been giving you guys now for a while. And so, you know, I encourage you, go back, ask the Holy Spirit, is that, you know, if you need encouragement or you need to hear from God and you're in a place where you're just, you know, confused or needing some direction, I encourage you, ask the Holy Spirit, is there a word of the month that you want to speak to me through? And go back through those archives and take a listen. So let's talk about where we are, right? Where are we now? It's August. And as I've been prepping for this word, you know, I really felt like the Lord, which he often does with me, not only did he want me to go back and revisit July, but he wanted me to go back and revisit some additional things that he has spoken to me in the past. And I think that's significant that I mentioned that to you guys today, because I think it's really easy to forget what God has spoken to us. In fact, it's one of the major reasons that when I'm discipling people, coaching, training people, helping them step into their purpose and, you know, go through Emerge or, you know, all of our graduate programs, is that I encourage the practice of journaling. I encourage you to make that an everyday part of your life, where you are taking the time to actually hear God for yourself. And the reason I want you to journal it, and the reason I feel the Holy Spirit has led me to that, is because it's important to be able to go back and remember the things that God has spoken to you. They will encourage you. You know, I still revisit prophecies over my life that were from the very first real prophecy that I ever received from the Lord, way back in 2003, when God was calling me into ministry and sharing with me that Brian was going to be my husband and that I would be, you know, that he would be the father of my children. And I mean, just lots of things that have already come to pass in my life, but I can tell you there are still things that have yet to be fulfilled in that word way back from 2003. And so I think it's important that I kick off today in August by just reminding you to go back to the things that God has spoken and to the notes that maybe you've taken in previous months. And today we are going to actually revisit a few of these things because I felt the Lord on that. And we will get into hopefully tying all that together and how it really flows into where we are, I feel, in this move of God that we're in the middle of as we progress through the broadcast. But I want to kick it off the same way that I kicked it off in January. And I don't know if you remember or not, but I actually began the word of the year for 2024 by revisiting some prophecies from 2019 and 2020. And so I actually, you know, went through those prophecies in January, and I felt like I was supposed to read them again, because what God was speaking way back in 2019 and 2020 has not changed. He is still up to what he spoke then in our lives. In fact, he will be up to that until it is a fully realized reality in our lives. And so I'm going to kick it off with the word from 2019, and I'm just going to read it here just as a reminder so that we can kind of get on the same page. Okay. In 2019, the Lord said this: in order to be truly successful in life, my kids must live out of their true identity. They must live out of who they are in Christ. They must live out of the place where they are abiding in me. This means that each of them must stop identifying with their old self-image, the unregenerate me, the separated me, the alienated me, the independent me. Okay, the old man, you guys, this me, the ego, whatever you want to call it, it says this me, quote unquote, no longer exists. It's just a memory of who they've experienced themselves to be over the course of their life. That is such a powerful statement. It's just a memory. The old man, the old you, the person that so many of us live out in a day-to-day manner is actually just an old identity. It's not the truth. And it's coming from the memories of who you've experienced yourself to be over the course of your life. And then he begins and says, however, this memory of me, who in reality no longer lives, must die in their minds. Whoa. Wow. It's the working out of your own salvation. It's the crucifixion of the old man in your subconscious mind. Okay. It says you cannot identify with the old man and the new man at the same time. You cannot be joined to me and separated from me at the same time. The state of abiding in Christ is the normal and perpetual state of being for a believer, whether they are aware of it or not. Separation from me is always just an illusion. However, when someone is deceived by this illusion, my life cannot fully flow through them. As a result, they cannot produce the fruit and the results that they desire. They cannot produce the fruits that only come from being connected to the tree of life. My results are produced only by abiding in me. The supernatural is the natural byproduct of your life as you abide in Christ. But remember this, child, it is one thing to know who you are in Christ and entirely something different to live out of this identity as a way of life and being. And this is what he says. And this was just kind of a little note to me. And he said, "This, my child, is the reason I created you. I have called you to help people live their life purpose and make a difference in the world. The only way that it can happen through oneness with me. This is also why you must never, ever stop moving forward and believing me for big and possible dreams for yourself and others. Yes, it may be easier to live a normal life, but Jesus paid an incredible price for you to experience my extraordinary life. If you want to know what those connected to you need to know into this coming year in order for this year to be the best year that they've ever lived, tell them this. Listen to my voice. Make knowing me, living out of your true identity, and learning to abide in union with me your number one priority. Success in life isn't found in setting and achieving more goals. It's found in living life with me, in union with me. Will you set and achieve goals this way? Of course you will. You will set and achieve my goals. And I will accomplish my will, and I will establish my kingdom through you as you abide in me. However, your life and you will not be defined by these accomplishments, for who you are and your success in life is fully defined by who you are in me." Okay, now I'm just going to keep reading into what the word was in 2020 because it was an extension of that. And it's a continuation of the conversation. And so I just want to keep talking. It says, "This is the year that you're actually going to learn to abide in me. This is not a new word. This is the continuation of the word that I gave you for 2019. I'm not finished with the work I started in your tribe last year, and I will not stop until I finish the good work that I've begun. What did I speak over 2019? Well, was it fully accomplished? Was it completed? What about the words that I've spoken to you in the past? So many of my kids are going from word to word, from thing to thing, from person to person, from teaching to teaching, from ministry to ministry, from conference to conference, looking for the next thing. But that's not how I work. I am patient. I will wait thousands of years if that's what it takes to see my word fulfilled." It says the generation entering into 2020 is an instant gratification generation. And the decades leading us here have created an instant gratification church. But I am shaking the foundations, especially in the West. I am shaking everything that can be shaken, and I will have my way with my bride. So if you want to know what I'm speaking over 2020, start with what I said in 2019, and we can go from there. Take some time to go back and really let what I spoke sink in. Then don't be so quick to go from thing to thing to thing to thing. Abiding is about a state of being. And it's all about learning to live in the present moment. It's about staying awake to my presence and learning to flow and be led by me. Who is building your life? You or me? Who is fulfilling your life purpose? You or me? Whose goals are you pursuing? Yours or mine? What I really want is all of you. I want to live my life through you every moment of every day. I want to remind you to remain in me. I want you to stay connected to my voice and follow my instructions. I want to accomplish big things through you. I want to release my kingdom, heaven, through you. So what does that mean practically? It means death to independence. Death to living under the influence of anything but me. That's right. I want you under my influence at all times. When people talk about being under the influence, it normally means they're not in their right mind. But when I talk about being under the influence, I'm talking about staying in your right mind, my mind. I want to influence your thoughts, your emotions, your choices, every aspect of your life. This isn't about a new word. This isn't about setting new goals. This is about surrendering to such a degree and allowing my life to flow through you to such a degree that you can no longer discern where you end and where I begin. It's about experiencing perpetual communion and perfect union with me. And if it takes the next 20 years to learn, then so be it. Why? Because this is the key to living a successful life. Abiding in the vine is how fruit is produced. It's not about achieving anything in some independent manner. It's not about striving. It's not about toil. It's about me living my life in and through you. And when this happens, heaven will manifest and I will use you to accomplish my agenda. So I still, when I read those words, I just feel, you know, I feel the whack on it. I feel the presence of God on it because, whoa, it's just the heart of God. It's the heart of God, you guys, for us to truly experience in the core of our being, in every fiber of our being, in every cell of our being, in every thought, in every emotion, in every aspect of our existence. Oh, the glory of God, the presence of God, the union of God. And we have access, you guys, to the King of Kings, to the one who said, let there be light, to the God of the universe, to the most powerful, to the most glorious, to the most beautiful. I mean, words don't even, I don't have enough adjectives, right, to describe the majesty and the glory of Jesus and Father and Holy Spirit. And this reality is an accomplished fact in our lives. Like when we really sit and think about what the gospel has done to us, that it has extracted sin out of our being, that the old man was crucified, and that we are this brand new species of being, a divine human like Jesus Christ, who, when he walked the earth, except after the crucifixion, after the resurrection, like the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ is alive in us. And this is the best news that's ever been told. And it is the truth about us that not only changes our destiny and changes, you know, our relationship with God, but it changes the very reality of our existence and the reality of our being. And what I recognize in this move of the Holy Spirit that I keep describing, right? It's this move of the Holy Spirit that is involved right now in our lives to eradicate the illusion of separation and integrate us with Jesus, not just in the spirit, which is already finished, but also actually have it work its way out into our body, into our mindset, into our emotions, into our choices, into our lives to such a degree that truly, when people see you, they see the Father, that God is expressing himself through you in a way that is clearly not human, you know? And, you know, another thing that I was kind of sifting through and working through as I thought about the word of the month for August, is I went back and listened to, I look at my notes that of a Chris Blackaby teaching that I had listened to a while ago. And it was just talking about how the human body is the most powerful technology that has ever been created. I'm just going to pull up my notes on this really quick. Hopefully I can find it on my phone just because I don't want to butcher it. And I think it's probably still up. Let me just see if I can find it here. Yeah, I think I got it right here. Awesome. It says this, I'm just going to read a little bit of it. It says the whole earth is yearning for mature sons. It says, I assume that everyone once has decided to be a mature son. That changes the earth, that changes the structure of the earth. And that's what we're doing. And then I'm just going to come back here. It says, the most important technology in all of creation is the human body made from the dust. This is the singular most important technology in all of creation. It says, everybody wants this. Okay, good guys, bad guys, they all want the human body. In fact, there's a battle for the human body. That's why it says the battle is for our hearts and our emotions, because if they can get a hold of the human body, and my notes are a little bit, let me just read through this. It's basically saying that it's a battle for our hearts and our emotions so that they can get a hold of the human body. Why? Because this body can house Yahweh. This thing, and it says can become, I'm going to say has become one with God. This body houses the spirit of the Lord Most High, and his body is glory. The body of Jesus Christ is a glorified body. It is a post-resurrection body. You know, when we think of the body of Christ, I mean, what do we really think of? I mean, this is a glorified body, and we are members of the glorified body of Jesus Christ. And it says, and this body was designed to become glory. And being made in the image of God, this body has the ability to speak and create and change creation. This body gives us this ability. So everybody wants a human body. God wants your body. He wants your spirit. He wants your soul. He wants your body. And he says, once you see that in scripture, you see in the Old Testament, the New Testament, you also recognize that the enemy wants your body. Because if he can get a hold of your body, then he can get a hold of your DNA. And it says, if he can get into your DNA, he has access to your nervous system. And if he has access to your nervous system, then he has access to your emotions and thus has access to your words. And that's what you create. And that's why everybody wants the human body. So I was just sitting with that and I thought, you know what, I could probably restate all of it, but I'm staying on point here today with some of these things, because when I stepped into January and we went back and we read those words in 2019 and 2020, and then I entered into really what God was speaking over 2024, you know, it was really about becoming unstoppable. It was about dominating. It was about learning to manipulate and govern the matrix. The specific word was don't quit, be unstoppable, learn how to manipulate the matrix and dominate. And some of the other notes that I just had from when I was crafting that word was like, it's time to dominate. It's time to make money your servant. It is time to have time be your servant. It is time to take dominion and have our spirits rule over our bodies, over our emotions, and learn to govern first and foremost ourselves. First and foremost, our own level of consciousness. To first and foremost govern our state of mind. You know, one of the scriptures that I wanted to bring up today is from Romans chapter 8. And I looked it up in the Mirror Translation. You know me, I'm always in the Mirror Translation. And I just want to read it to you. It says, we're going to start in verse 6. It says, thinking patterns are formed by reference. Either the sensual appetites of the flesh and spiritual death, or Zoe life and the total tranquility. Sorry, I was double checking something there really quick. Thinking patterns are formed by reference. Either the sensual appetites of the flesh and spiritual death, or Zoe life and total tranquility flowing from a mind addicted to spirit realities. Man, that's just so good. So there's thinking patterns are going to be formed by two references. So there's two reference points for our thought life. And obviously from our thought life, our emotional life, and the words that we speak, this internal world, there are two references for what is running the technology of the human body. Either it's going to be the spirit or it's going to be the old man. It's going to be a fallen mindset. It's going to be referenced by the senses, the five physical senses, and just the human aspects of us, which is, you know, it says the mindset of the flesh is death. To be spiritually minded is life. To be carnally minded or driven by the flesh or driven by the fallen mindsets is death. But here it says, but Zoe life and total tranquility flows from a mind that is addicted to spirit realities. And, you know, in Colossians chapter 3, you know, it says, set our minds on things that are above. Like our minds and our bodies and this abiding in the vine and this consciousness of our union as a way of being is critical if we are truly going to not only be unstoppable and dominate and matrix, you know, dominate the matrix and really do all that God has foreordained, that God has planned for us to do, to transform the planet, to be the manifestation of a son of God who governs the new creation. It's really about, first of all, learning to govern this new creation, learning to govern our internal world, learning to operate in the, and I say learning, but just operating in this fruit of self-control, by allowing the power of Holy Spirit, who is God and has self-control, to rule over us in our mind and in our mindset and in our reference point for life. It truly is about abiding in Zoe life, about abiding, literally addicted. I love what that says, addicted to the new creation reality, addicted to the truth of the gospel, and totally addicted. And you know what someone is who is addicted is? They're focused. I mean, they can't get their mind. They got their mind is always on the next fix, right? Like, where am I going to get the next one? It's an obsession. And truly, this is about becoming obsessed with the gospel, obsessed with the truth, obsessed with Jesus Christ and his indwelling presence and the fellowship and the communion of the Trinity within us. Because it is so much more, I mean, it's life. It's the life of God. And I want to tell you that it is addicting. I mean, why do you think they call it drinking in the Spirit? I mean, they could have said other things, right? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why is filled with the being filled with the Spirit compared to alcohol, right? Right, because there is a bliss, there is a peace, there is a joy, there is a disposition, there are emotions, there are thoughts, there are the governance of the human body. There is a surrender and a relinquishment of human control of the human body when we are feasting and drinking in God, and we are addicted to the Spirit. We are addicted to God. We are addicted to the truth. And let me just go back in here for a moment, because it keeps on reading and it keeps on speaking here. It says, a mind focused on the flesh. This is verse 7. The sensual domain where sin held me captive, it says, is distracted from God with no inclination to his life. Flesh and spirit are opposing forces. Hey, harobokosha. In verse 8, it says, it is impossible for those immersed in the flesh to at the same time accommodate themselves to the opinion, desire, and interest of God. It says, but you are not ruled. This is the one I really wanted to get to. Verse 9, it says, but you are not ruled by flesh consciousness, but by spirit consciousness. Since God's Spirit is permanently at home in you, anyone who does not embrace the at-homeness of the Spirit of Christ cannot be themselves. Okay, I'm going to read verse 9 again, because it's really the foundation of what God, I believe, is speaking over August and what he's doing. It says, but you are not ruled by flesh consciousness, but by spirit consciousness. Since God's Spirit is permanently at home in you, anyone who does not embrace the at-homeness of the Spirit of Christ cannot be themselves. And really, it is all about this move of the Holy Spirit, this move to eradicate the illusion of separation from God, is also that we can actually be ourselves. You know, I hear a lot of things about authenticity, you know, and I you know, as I'm an Enneagram 4, 3 wing, 3, 4 wing, somewhere in there. But the four aspect of kind of my personality and how that formed and all of that stuff over the course of my life is very much about uniqueness, you know? And so authenticity and uniqueness is something that I just feel is like really kind of a core value in my life. But if I'm truly going to discover who I am and be at home in my own skin, then I have to recognize that I have to fully embrace the union of God. I have to embrace sonship and the new creation and this way of being and thinking and not, and yes, acting and speaking and embodying Jesus as, whoa, my identity intertwined with, you know, Jesus and Shalice intertwined into this unique, beautifully crafted display of God's glory. And this, of course, is just not true for me. I'm using myself as an example here, but this is true for you. You are a unique, beautifully crafted, gloriously designed expression of God, of God's nature, of God's character, of God's power, of God's glory, of God's dominion. And this new you, this real you, is face to face with God. I mean, this is a beautiful picture of our co-seatedness with Jesus. Like, there's this just zero separation. And so what I really feel like God is doing right now, and I guess to introduce it, let me go to a word that I received. I don't even know how long it's been. It's probably 2009. It's been a long time ago, but I really felt God breathing on this for August, and really wanting me to share this as a corporate word. And I'm going to dive into it a little bit here, and I'll culminate with really, you know, what's the phrase that summarizes the word for August in a little bit here. But let me read this. Okay. It says, I'm shining the light on you. I am working and I'm moving. I am going to deliver you from being motivated by anyone or anything other than me. Okay. That has such a gravity to it. I'm just going to like see law there for a moment and read it again. I am going to deliver you from being motivated by anyone or anything other than me. I am not going to allow you to be manipulated or controlled. I'm going to give you strength, wisdom, and insight. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to make you strong and sturdy. I am going to help you see things clearly from my perspective and be led continually by me from the inside out. You are going to follow my lead and look to me for inspiration and honor. You are going to depend on me to judge situations, circumstances, and hearts. Now, years later, I read John 5:30 in the Voice translation, and it really went along with this. And so let me just read that to you. It's Jesus speaking. He says, I have never acted, nor will I in the future act on my own. I listen to the directions of the one who sent me, and I act on these divine instructions. For this reason, my judgment is always fair and never self-serving. I'm committed to pursuing God's agenda and not my own. And the reason I share that scripture, because to me, when I read that, it is the manifestation or the picture of someone, namely Jesus, who lived the way that that prophetic word describes, that he was not motivated by anyone or anything other than the Father. He was not motivated by the opinions of men, and he could not be manipulated or controlled. He saw things clearly from the Father's perspective, and he was fully led by the Spirit. Even when it meant going into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and led all the way to Calvary, he was led by the Spirit. He didn't look for inspiration from men. He didn't look for honor from men. He depended on the Father for all judgment, all judgment. I mean, human judgment is like a really, you know, apart from Christ, like it is really a big deal. But Jesus discerned and he depended on the Father for judging all situations, all circumstances, and all hearts. And so what I really feel God is doing in the midst of whatever is going on in your life right now is that he's shining the light on you. And he is shining the light on you, honestly, so that you can release the old man and the old programming and the mindset of the flesh and anything and everything that is driving you, that is motivating you, that is controlling you, that is manipulating you, that is not God. Hey, and I just want to say that this is a beautiful, deep work of healing that God is accomplishing in your life. And for some of us, that is not such a pleasant process all the time. It means that you become aware of the things that are driving you. When the light goes on, guess what? You start to see things that before the light was on, you couldn't see. And these things that God is revealing to us, these things that are driving us, these things that are manipulating, these things that are controlling us. I mean, controlling us many times with anxiety, controlling us with all kinds of emotions, triggers, you know, fear, anger, and are vibrating in our bodies. They are deregulating our nervous system. They are causing us to, instead of be, you know, trust God and believe God. And when he says something, just know that it's so. It's causing us to listen to the voices of doubt and be double-minded and look at the circumstances, then maybe look back at what God said. And it's just this, it's the lack of peace. It's a lack of steadiness. It's a lack of stability in our inner world. And it results in a lack of self-control. And so why? When you don't have self-control, you're being controlled by something. Something is animating you that is not the Spirit of God. And so when God shines the light on these things, it means that they're going to become apparent. You're going to become conscious of it. You're going to become aware of it. And it's not for the purposes of condemning you. It's not for the purpose of punishing you. It's not for the purpose of pointing out what's wrong with you. It's for the purpose of release. It's for the purpose of freedom. It's for the purpose of coming out of agreement with subconscious lies that we have picked up over the course of our lives, many times without even realizing it, and coming into a place of safety and a place of security and a place of refuge inside of Jesus, where we are unmovable and unshakable and not affected by anything externally, because we are governed by our union and our fellowship and our communion and our intimacy with God from the inside out. And so, you know, God's been working this word in my life for a long time, you guys. And I mean, I can tell you, you know, I've left, but it's not like I've arrived. I can tell you that, hey, I mean, Just, I don't know. Sometimes when I share things like this, I always recognize like how it's so easy to like think that leaders in the body of Christ or other people that we respect and that we honor, like they just don't struggle with the things that we struggle with. But either they are repressing and suppressing and religious and unable. I don't know how to say it, but for me, I'm saying that, I mean, if Jesus was so under pressure that he was sweating drops of blood, you know what I mean? And the scriptures are so clear over and over again about not fainting and taking thoughts captive. And I mean, there's so many scriptures about our internal world. I mean, you know, maybe I'm an anomaly. Maybe I struggle in my internal world more than others. But I think at least I just want to say, you're not alone. Like this work that God has been working in me is undoing and unraveling decades of trauma and things that I experienced in life that taught me that, you know what? The world isn't safe. I mean, turn on the news, you guys. Like we're constantly being inundated with all of the ways that we are not safe. And so this shining the light on us is this beautiful act of grace, so that we can come out of agreement with the things that are driving our lack of safety, that are deregulating our nervous system, that are causing fear, that are causing doubt, that are causing emotions that are not having their source in the Spirit of God within us. And so I believe that this is what transfiguration looks like. It is the revealing of the truth within us that shines the light and dispels every lie and dispels the fear and dispels the things that have been controlling us. And many times, you know what, guys, we don't even know what's controlling us until we get into a situation, right? When Peter denied Jesus three times, he was fully persuaded that he was ready to die for Jesus until the pressure was applied and just the right amount of, you know, circumstances. And he starts to get questioned by a servant girl. The next thing you know, what's coming out of his mouth is totally contrary to what he was just telling Jesus, whatever, a little bit ago. And so many times we don't recognize what is, it's normal to us. We've lived under it our whole lives. And so we just think this is just how it is. And so it takes a move of the Holy Spirit for there to be a revelation of things that, you know what, the opinion of God is not, we're not at home. We're being led by a mindset of the flesh. Our spirit is not truly governing every aspect of our lives. And so I just also want to encourage you with this. This is not something that you have to do. Okay, literally, listen to what the word said. This word that I just read to you was everything that God was doing. I am working. I am moving. I'm going to shine the light on you. I'm going to deliver you from being motivated from anyone or anything. I'm not going to allow you to be manipulated or controlled. I'm going to give you strength, wisdom, and insight. I'm going to set you free. I'm going to make you strong and sturdy. I'm going to help you see things clearly from my perspective and be led by me from the inside out. And then he just tells what I'm going to do. You're going to follow my lead and look to me for inspiration and honor. You're going to depend on me to judge situations, circumstances, and hearts. This is something that God is doing in us. This is something that God is doing through us. And this is, it's like going into surgery. You're not involved in the surgery. The surgery is done to you. They put you under, you know what I'm saying? And the doctor does the surgery. And so this is Jesus rewiring our brains, like supernatural mind renewal. This is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. A transfiguring work in the Holy Spirit so that nothing controls our bodies except the Spirit of God. Nothing controls our emotions except the Spirit of God. Hey, nothing controls our words except the Spirit of God. We are strong. We are sturdy. We are steady. And I can tell you after, you know, I've had battles with my mental health in my 20s and so forth. And, you know, I mean, it's been intense in my life at times. And so the idea that you can come to a place where you are fully rooted, fully grounded in the love of God, and that you too are committed to God's agenda and not your own. I mean, and not even just, and I'm not just talking about just the agendas of men and the timing and any of those things. Like, this is a word that makes you unstoppable. It makes you 1,000% unstoppable, because why? You are unmanipulatable. And what is the strategy of the world system? What is the strategy of the matrix? It's to deceive you. It's to exalt itself over the knowledge of God. It is to control you through money, to control you through time, control your, like, the, you know, the media, like it is literally designed to manipulate and control you so that you are being motivated and driven by something other than the Spirit of God. And so this month, what I am saying is really like a yes and amen to this word. And it's, the word for August is let there be light. And you know, when that light shines, it changes us. You know, what happened to Paul on the road to Damascus? Well, a light shined. A light shined. And it blinded him. And it was so powerful that in the natural, he was blinded. And I have no doubt in my mind that it was a spiritual awakening. And it was an awakening to the mind of the Spirit and a blinding to the mind of the flesh. And I mean, there's so many scriptures that I could go to, and maybe I'll just pull a couple up here about this. Let's go over to Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And, you know, this one says in verse 14, it says, well, let's just do this. It says, verse 13, whatever revelation light exposes, it will also correct, and I'm reading the Passion Translation, and everything that reveals truth is light to the soul. This is why the scripture says, arise, you sleeper, rise up from your coffin, and the anointed one will shine his light into you. So arise, I mean, this is what's happening. We're arising and we're shining through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is revealing truth to us. And this revelation light exposes the truth, what is correct, what is lovely, and it is light to our soul. And I believe with all of my heart that it is as powerful. This light is as powerful as what the Apostle Paul experienced. And when I say it's powerful, I'm telling you, there's a focus on this right now in August that I believe that there is a massive wake up that is happening in our lives right now. I believe there is a Damascus Road type experience, a destiny shaping time in our lives where who we are and what we are called to do and the truth of the gospel. I mean, the Apostle Paul in Galatians, I mean, the revelation that this man had, you know, when he was called into ministry, I mean, he got it directly from Jesus. And he says this, he says, in verse 11, in Galatians 1, he says, "Beloved, let me repeat emphatically that the gospel entrusted to me was not given to me by any man. No one taught me this revelation. It was given to me directly by the unveiling of Jesus Christ." He says, "By now you've heard stories of how severely I harassed and persecuted Christians and how systematically I endeavored to destroy God's church, all because of my radical devotion to Jewish religion. My zeal and passion for the doctrines of Judaism distinguished me from my people, for I was far more advanced in my religious instruction than any others my age." I mean, he was a religious zealot, you guys, truly a religious terrorist to the early church. But in verse 15, it says, "But then God called me by his grace and chose me from my birth to be his." In verse 16, it says, "He was pleased to unveil his son in me so that I would proclaim him to the peoples of this world." And it says, "After I had this encounter, I kept it a secret for some time, sharing it with no one." So what am I saying? I'm saying that this light is the unveiling of Jesus Christ in us. I'm talking about the most powerful, intimate, personal revelation of this that impacts you the way it impacted the Apostle Paul. Like, it completely changes the trajectory of your life, of your identity. And it sets you on a course that has the potential to change the world. And I don't know I don't know if you guys are like, "Who is she talking to?" Me, I'm talking to anyone that has ears to hear. I'm talking to anyone that is willing to say yes and amen, to say, "Be it unto me according to your word." Just like Mary, I mean, a little virgin girl, you know, that just was chosen and the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. And the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ was accomplished through her. And what I'm describing is an overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. You know, I have been in this kind of supernatural fast for at least, you know, off and on for the last week that is truly not in any way, shape, or form because I'm doing anything. Number one, I'm not a very good faster. Like, unless Jesus fasts, I'm not really good at it. And I'm telling you, this is like without headaches, without symptoms. Like, this is a supernatural, supernatural thing that's happening in my life. And I just am telling you that you are going to begin to experience the supernatural grace of God to get your flesh under, to get the mindset of the flesh under, and to be set free in ways that there is no way that it can happen except through the power and the glory of God, in ways that you have not even recognized that something was controlling you other than the Spirit of God. This self-control is capital S control. It's true self-control. And when I say capital S self, I mean, it is the union of you and God in control. It is the way Jesus operated throughout his earthly ministry. And it is the way a son of God is designed to live. And it is absolutely the way that we become unstoppable. And we absolutely take dominion and manipulate the world system. We basically transform it. We create with God and challenge, challenge the demonic systems and the demonic mindsets and the fallen things that are not a part of the kingdom of God. And so I just say, buckle up, you guys. I believe it's going to be a really powerful, glorious month of transfiguration. I believe that the God is speaking these things over you through me right now, and that you are going to awaken and have a consciousness that first off is, you know, going to maybe see some things that have been controlling you, but those things are going to just fall off of you. Just fall off of you. This is not something that you've got to do. It's just something that you agree with. It's just something that you're like, thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you that you are renewing my mind, that you are empowering me and my spirit to govern. And so it's just a work of God that he is accomplishing in your life. And it is the revealing of the sons of God. This is a work of the Holy Spirit. And so, beloved, I just bless you with this word. I say, let there be light. Shine as bright until you are completely blinded to the realm of this, of the, and I, you know, I'm not talking about physical blindness, but I am saying till you're just blinded to the things that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, and that you are able to walk as Jesus in your body, and the unique expression that God has engineered you to be, that it's flowing in full authenticity and in full steam, you know, full blown power of God manifesting in your life. So I love you. That's all I got for August. And as always, share it and meditate on it. And I can't wait to hear what God speaks to you about it and how it manifests in your life. So God bless you. Love you guys. And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for listening to Shalisa's podcast. This recording is, in part, made possible by our listeners. To partner with us, visit shalisa.com. where you can donate and help us spread the good news of our unshakable union with Christ around the globe. You can also find a link there to download Shalisa's book, The Path, for free. And if you're ready to discover the call of God on your life and the purpose he created you for, then visit us at shalisa.com and watch Shalisa's free training, where you'll hear 5 keys to hearing God about your life purpose and transitioning into it. Thanks again for listening. Until next time, don't forget, the world needs the Christ in you.